The righteous live by their faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So we get this reading from the prophet Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, or however you want to pronounce it, right? Habakkuk. And he is writing in a time where Judah, the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, is in short order very soon to be conquered by the Babylonians and go into exile. But before that time, right, he is looking at his countrymen and he is seeing terrible things, right? He's saying, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen?" Right? This is kind of a brazen prophet saying, "Lord, why are you not listening? Look, Lord, I cry to you, violence. Will you not save us from the violence that's among us? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and trouble?" And that's part of the Christian life, right? We're required to not turn a blind eye to suffering. "Lord, why do you make me see this when I feel powerless to be able to do anything about it? Destruction and violence are around me before me. Strife and contention and arise. The law has become slack and justice never prevails." Good God, he could be talking about 21st century America. We all live here. We know we got problems, right? "The law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, and therefore judgment comes forth perverted." The prophets have a way of putting these problems in universal context, and we recognize that it applies to us continually throughout history. And so Habakkuk is saying to God, it's not just him prophesying against the corruption he sees, which you see in all over the place in the prophets, whether it be Amos or Isaiah or Jeremiah, okay? What you see here is someone projecting out to God and saying, "How long do I have to cry out before you will do something about it, God?" How many of us have asked that question in our lives and in our prayers? But Amos does something that I think that we don't often do. I know I don't, because I have no patience. Okay. We all know it's true, right? He says, "I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me, how God will answer me. How he will answer me according to my complaint." Not only is Amos brazenly throwing out to God, "How long do I have to wait? I'm going to wait. I got all day, Lord. I got all week, because nothing good seems to be happening around me, so I might as well just wait." Does that seem brazen? Is that how you talk to God? Maybe that's how you should talk to God. Because Habakkuk gets an answer, doesn't he? And it's not, "How dare you question me," right? He says, "Make this vision plain. It speaks of the end and it does not lie. It seems to tarry. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. Be patient. It will surely come." Do we believe that? Do we believe that God is going to make everything right in the world? Do we trust God enough to wait patiently for God's signal to us? Or do we perhaps try to make things happen on our own without consulting with God? Because that's something that God actually says not to do, right? He says, "Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them. Look at the people who try to make the world work according to their own plans." And the very next verse, by the way, is, "Moreover, wealth is treacherous." This is God speaking to Amos. "And the arrogant do not endure." God's got no time or patience for our mortal solutions to the problems that we create with our mortal solutions to previous problems. Because that's what it is. We create problems for ourselves. We try to solve those problems. We create more problems for ourselves. That's the world that we live in. Whereas if we would just sit and wait for God's answer at times, we might get one that works. And therefore, the Lord says to Habakkuk, it could be too, talking to Amos sometimes, the righteous live by their faith. What does that even mean? So if you look at our psalm today, right, I feel like that psalm could be God's answer to Amos. Amos is a good prophet to have on your mind, but I feel like this could be God's answer to Habakkuk, right? Do not fret yourself because of evildoers. There are evildoers everywhere, Lord. What do you mean, don't fret myself? He says, they'll soon wither like the grass. Like the green grass, they will fade away. And that's sort of one built-in way in the cosmos, in the structure of things, that God has for getting rid of evil. People die. Granted, the evil seem to hang on for a lot longer than they ought to, right? But they eventually die. You know, Hitler isn't kicking around anymore, neither is Stalin. The evil die. So do the righteous. But I think that when the righteous die, they've got a different meeting with God than the evil do. Right? Put your trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. So there's something required of us while we are surrounded by evil and violence and corruption and lies. Oh, the lies, right? While we are surrounded by things, we're expected to do good in spite of the fact that it seems like it's a helpless and hopeless proposition. Commit your way to the Lord, put your trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. Do we believe that? Do we believe that if we wait patiently for the Lord, God will make it pass, that God will turn evil, right? He will transform the effects of evil into something good. That he will take death and turn it into new life. That's what we believe. That's what we profess. That's what that cross means. And that's what the risen Jesus means. That death gets turned into life, right? And so, finally, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Can we do that? Do we do that in our prayer? Go back to what I said before, right? Habakkuk says, how long, O Lord? I'm going to wait till you answer me. Do we do that in our prayer life? Because if we do, we will find that God actually does answer very often. And when God answers, it's either to tell us to wait, I got something good in store, or I'm glad you've taken an interest. Here's your part in the plan. And that's why, like when the apostles are saying to Jesus, increase our faith, right? They know, because they're living in the middle of the Roman Empire in oppressed Judea. Increase our faith, Lord, because right now what we're doing with you, this walking around, preaching and teaching, we can't see how this is going to bring down the Roman Empire. Increase our faith. Because that's what they were expecting the Messiah to do, to come in and overthrow the yoke of Roman tyranny. And Jesus says to them, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, so tiny, if you had just that minuscule particle of faith, you could just tell this tree to go into the sea and it would. Now, you wouldn't if you had that particle of faith, because that's a really stupid use of power that God gives to you. But conceivably, if it was part of God's plan, and that's the thing, if it was part of God's plan, you could do it. Because when you have faith and you trust in God, then you are saying, God, help me participate in your plan. The world around me is reeking of violence and destruction and lies and corruption. And it's been like that forever. Lord, how long do I have to wait before you answer me? I'll wait. Because when you wait patiently for God, you were showing yourself that you trust God. And that's when things start getting exciting. Because when you look at, like, and I'm going to give an example, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who I'm taking a class on this semester, so this is why he is forefront on my mind. He was struggling against apartheid. And apartheid was like an institution, obviously, but it was in the very air. It seemed insurmountable, but like the prophets of old. Tutu went to the leaders of the apartheid establishment and said, "Don't you realize you're on the losing side? Tyrants come and go. Oppressive governments come and go, but the Church of God remains throughout all time." He said to him, "It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when." There's even a famous scene where he wagged his finger at the prime minister. Okay, which, by the way, if you were a black man, and he's also a tiny black man, waving your finger at an overbearing white man in apartheid South Africa, that is brazen. That's trusting God. And for those of you who say we shouldn't have a political gospel, I think Archbishop Desmond Tutu would be happy to argue with you on that point. Because it was through not just his efforts, the efforts of many, that it actually did get toppled. And here's a funny thing about Desmond Tutu. The man prays for 6 hours a day. He wakes up at 4 in the morning, sits in silent prayer, then goes and does a little morning prayer service, goes, has breakfast with his wife, then goes to a formal morning prayer service with the rest of his staff. Then sometime around noonday, he'll find time for prayer. Then sometime in the late afternoon, he'll find time for prayer. This man is fueled by prayer. And I look at that schedule because he's a jet setter. He flies all around the world. When he was working against apartheid, he was flying to foreign countries to get it done. How do you have time when you're flying all over the place, running all over the place, putting out fires, going to prayer rallies because people have been massacred or have been displaced from their homes, right? How many times do you have to get down on your knees and cry to the Lord and say, "How long?" And every time he did it, God said, "Wait, I got a plan. And here's what you're going to do about it." And it happened. Not to say everything's perfect today, but it happened. The thing that he had prayed for and worked for so long happened. And I will affirm that it was done because he knew that you wait patiently for the Lord and God will give you your marching orders. So my brothers and sisters, my prayer for us today is that we would have faith the size of a mustard seed or even something smaller so that it can grow. My prayer for us is that we would talk to God directly and say, "How long, O Lord, do I have to put up with all of this evil?" And then we would wait patiently and listen for God's marching orders. Because when we do, God's going to tell us, "I'm so happy for your faith. I've been waiting for you to talk to me. Let's do this together." In Jesus' name. Amen.